Uninformed immigrants are at a huge disadvantage in court, in financial and legal matters, and also sometimes in life. Well, what can we do about it? I'll tell you what. We can train, teach, inspire, and empower immigrants to maximize their lives regardless of their immigration status. And that's exactly what we're going to do here. I am your immigration lawyer and host, Otis Landerholm, and this is the Empowered Immigrant Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Empowered Immigrant Podcast. On this episode, we're going to see an episode of the Empowered Immigrant Live, which is a webcast that I do every Thursday on Facebook and on YouTube for the immigrant community. If you have any immigrant questions or immigration questions, feel free to join us on Thursday for the next one. And for now, enjoy the episode. And welcome, bienvenidos, hello, thank you all so much for being here. I'm grateful to be with you today. My name's Otis Landerholm. I'm the founding attorney here at Landerholm Immigration APC, where we fight for your American dream. And it's Thursday, it's the 31st of March of 2022, it's the last day of the month of March. Can you believe it? Crazy, right? Crazy. And here we are in Oakland, California, and I really am grateful to have each of you here with me. We are on another episode here today of the Empowered Immigrant Live. Today we're going to be talking about family-based immigration, and we're going to be asking that question, what should I do, adjustment of status or consular processing? What's better in my situation, adjustment of status or consular processing, and what's the difference? All right? So, as always, my friends on Instagram, thank you for being here on Instagram. My friends on Facebook, thank you for being here. YouTube, thank you for being here with me on YouTube. TikTok, thank you for being on TikTok. I love it. So thank you all so much. At the Empowered Immigrant Live, we're here to train, teach, inspire, and empower immigrants to make the most out of immigration laws and to make the most out of their lives. Today, our theme is adjustment of status versus consular processing. All right. And my question for you is, do you want to get a green card? All right. Do you want to get a green card this year? Is this year your year? Because if so, go for it. All right. I'd love to help you with it if that makes sense for you. And I really encourage everyone. You have no idea the amount of freedom, the amount of just like de-stressing it can bring to fix your immigration status, all right? Like you don't have to worry about it anymore. And that's what comes with citizenship, and that's what comes with being a lawful permanent resident in the U.S., all right? If there's a way, let's figure the way out. If there's a strategy, let's figure the strategy out. It all starts with a simple phone call, and we're here to help you with that if that's what makes sense for you. And so I'm an open book today to take questions, all right? I have not received questions ahead of time today. And so if you've got questions, hey, send them in. I'll answer them, all right? I'll answer anything you got, okay? And so I want to start today, and I want to start our theme today, adjustments and consular processing. I want to start it with a story, okay? The other day, I was in a consultation with a lady from Colombia, all right? She was in tears because the other lawyer that she had met with said she didn't have enough hardship. She didn't have enough hardship to do a consular process case with a waiver, so she wouldn't be eligible for a green card. Remember, often when we're consular processing, we got to show extreme hardship to a U.S. citizen spouse or parent. And if you don't have an extreme level of hardship, then they're going to deny your case. All right? But I was in that consult, and she's crying, and she's like, oh, the other person says I don't have any options, and here's why, and is there any argument that I have extreme hardship? And I'm like, wait a second. But you entered with a visa, right? She's like, yes. And I'm like, well, ma'am, you don't need to consular process. You don't need a waiver. And she looks at me. And she's like, but wait a minute, what about all my unlawful presence, right? What about all my unlawful presence? I'm like, ma'am, great question. Thank you for asking it.
But the way it works is you only trigger an unlawful presence bar if you leave the U.S., for example, to do a consular process. So don't leave the U.S. and instead let's apply for your green card through your U.S. citizen son who just turned 21, and let's get you that green card that you deserve here in the U.S. now. She's like, light bulb goes off. She doesn't need a waiver. She was like so relieved, right? We can do this, right? It's funny. It's funny that the worry that people have or the misinformation that people receive is like, let's clarify. Let's go a step deeper. Let's figure out, like, let's not just assume that you have to consular process in your situation. Maybe there's a way to do it here to avoid the waiver process. Let's not assume that you're inadmissible. Maybe you're not. Okay? Anyway, there you go. There you go. So, you know, and the moral of that story is let's get clarity first. That's what it, like, let's do a consultation first. Let's figure it out together. We can do that. You know, I presented on this last week. I want to pivot a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about the news of kind of what's going on right now, whether it's an adjustment case or it's a consular case. There are more backlogs. There are 8 million cases pending before USCIS. I don't have the exact number before the U.S. consulates. It's the highest number in history, all right? Adjustment of status cases are taking more than 2 years right now in most places. Consular cases are taking even longer. And so my question for you to just be aware of, right? You got to be aware of it. Like, is the pandemic over, right? Is COVID-19 over and done? All right, it feels like it sometimes. I went to lunch earlier today and I wore a mask when I first entered it, but that was it, you know, and I'm here in the Bay Area where we got more masks mandates than anywhere else, right? It seems like. Is the pandemic over? Is it over in the U.S.? And the real question is it over in the countries around the world and their U.S. consulates and embassies? The answer is we're getting there, but it's not quite over yet, everybody. All right, you got to be aware of that because that also affects adjustment of status here in the U.S. versus consular processing at your home country. Well, what's the situation of the pandemic in your home country? And are the embassies even open there yet? Because some are open and working and, you know, and others are not. And you got to be aware of it. All right, so let's talk about the basics. I always like to talk about the basics. How is a person eligible to adjust status? That's all. If there's a way to adjust you here in the U.S., let's figure that way out, all right? So the big three requirements to adjust status. First, you have to have been inspected and admitted or paroled into the United States, all right? So right there, you know, if you weren't inspected and admitted or paroled, if you cross the border without permission, then it's likely that you've got to do a consular case. All right, now there is an exception to that, which is called 245I. If you had a petition that was filed on your behalf on or before April 30th of the year 2001, then you might be protected under 245I. You might be able to adjust status if you're in that situation. All right. Step one is you have to have been inspected and admitted or paroled as you enter lawfully into the U.S. Step two, to be able to adjust here, is you have to be in a bona fide relationship with a United States citizen or a green card holding spouse or have a visa that's currently available through your eligible family member and be in lawful status, okay? If it's a U.S. citizen spouse or a U.S. citizen child petitioning you, you don't have to be in lawful status now to adjust. But if it's another family member, a green card holding spouse, you do. And that's a common, that often causes confusion. Sometimes we've got to look deeper into that issue, but we can do that. Requirement number three is you have to be, as always, you have to be quote unquote admissible, all right, or eligible for a waiver. So do you have a criminal record? All right. Have you ever lied to immigration before? Have you ever used, possessed, selled, sold, transported, cultivated any illegal drug, narcotic, marijuana, any controlled substance? All right. Have you ever falsely claimed to be a U.S. citizen before? There's lots of different inadmissibility grounds. Do you have an unlawful presence bar against you? You know, we can go through each of those. We've got our red flags list. We can go through that together in a detailed consultation to get to the bottom of that. But if you are or have been inspected and admitted or paroled into the U.S., you entered lawfully. If you're in a bona fide relationship, for example, with a U.S. citizen, right? If you're admissible, all right, then you're eligible to adjust status. You're eligible, all right? And now it's just a question of, hey, putting all the paperwork together, filing all the required documents, making sure you got everything the way the government likes it, send it off, and you'll be in your process to get yourself a green card here in the U.S. Got it? And so, wait a second, if you're not eligible to adjust, then what? All right, then what? So if you're not eligible to adjust, we got to figure out why. Is it because you weren't inspected and admitted or paroled? You crossed the border without permission. If that's the reason, if that's the only reason, then hey, you might be eligible to consular process. You will trigger an unlawful presence bar. There's a way to waive it. You can waive it even before you leave the U.S., all right? But it's a longer, slower, harder case, because you got to leave the U.S. to do it. All right. Now, the last slide that I want to go over, the last major point that I want to go over is I just want to answer this question: what are the benefits of adjustment of status over consular processing? Some people are like, hey, you know, I want a consular process. Okay, great. But let's talk it through. What are the benefits of adjusting versus the benefits of consular processing? And in my opinion, I always advise someone to adjust status and not consular process if you can, all right? What are the five big benefits, in my opinion? These are them. Number one, for an adjustment, you don't have to leave the U.S., all right, you can stay in your family home with your family here in the U.S. You don't have to leave, all right? Now, that might be a benefit to you. It might not be. Maybe you want to leave the U.S. You've got things to take care of back in your home country. But with an adjustment of status, you can apply for a travel document if you want to leave. It takes some months to get it, but you know. And so there's more flexibility on where you are if you do it as an adjustment of status versus consular processing, you must leave, okay? Second benefit of adjusting status is your lawyer, all right? Your lawyer can represent you in front of USCIS. They can go with you to your interview. Number three, if your case were denied for any reason, you have appeal rights. You can even fight your case in immigration court if necessary, if it's an adjustment of status. Not so with the consular case. The consulate has the final say. It's the State Department. There's the issue of non-consular reviewability. I said that backwards. It's consular non-reviewability. This is like a legal doctrine that says, hey, courts don't want to challenge, overturn, mess with the findings of a consular officer overseas. It's not within U.S. jurisdiction. It's outside the U.S., so there's fewer rights, all right? If you want the maximum rights, adjust your status here, all right? Benefit number four is you can get work authorization during the process instead of having to wait to the end to get work authorization. That's often a huge one, all right? And benefit number five of adjusting is it often is much faster. Especially in a COVID world, all legal processes are slower than normal right now, but consular cases are even slower than the adjustment of status process. Okay, those are the five benefits. So that was all that I wanted to go over today, all right? Remember, adjusting status is applying for a green card here in the U.S. You're just adjusting, you know, from undocumented to a green card holder here in the U.S. versus quote-unquote consular processing is you got to leave and go to the United States consulate in your home country, the U.S. embassy in your home country to apply to get that visa, that you know, that stamp in your passport so that you can re-enter the U.S. and then they send you the green card. That's it. That's it. Those are the differences, the benefits of adjustment over consular, and we talked about adjustment eligibility. And so that's all I got for today. Thank you all so much for being here. Send me your questions if you have them. Let's see. Danica, tell me if we've got... Oh, we've got some. Okay, good. So Javier... All right, you asked your question in Spanish. I'm going to do my episode in Spanish in just a moment, all right? But you're in English. You said, can a person appeal? Can a person win an appeal of cancellation of removal? All right, so that's interesting, Javier. Thank you for asking that. The answer is yes, all right? If the judge made a mistake in their legal analysis, yes, you can win a appeal of cancellation of removal. The tricky thing is that cancellation of removal is a discretionary benefit. And so if the judge, let me just say it like this, judges often don't make mistakes, don't make legal errors in their legal analysis of cancellation of removal. And the law for cancellation builds in a large amount of discretion for the judges. And so anyway, that's a detail, Javier. It's not easy to win an appeal, but heck, there's no harm in fighting it. There's no harm in trying it. And to really look at it, the first step is to look at the decision, the written decision of the immigration judge. All right. The next question comes from Manoj. Manoj, thank you for this question. Cool. You ask, hey, do we have premium processing for U visas? All right, let's talk about premium processing for a minute. Yesterday, USCIS came out with a new announcement about premium processing. And, you know, you could, if you Googled it, it'll come right up right now. All right, I'm filming this. It's the 31st of March. I think the announcement came out on the 29th of March, so I think it was the day before yesterday. But here's the deal, all right? Here's the deal. Premium processing really is just a thing for the I-129 or the I-140. Those are employment-based petitions. The answer to your question, Manoj, is no, all right? The U visa has a backlog, an enormous backlog. The government can only approve 10,000 cases per year. There is no premium processing for the U visa. There's no way around the backlog. They take forever. And if we could help you with your U visa, we'd love to do it. Our office is really, really good at U visas, but there's no premium processing for them. Okay? All right, the next question, and that's a great question. Thank you for saying that. The next question I see here comes from Jose. Jose, hello and welcome. All right. You say, can you explain a little bit more what it means for a bona fide or deferred action? It says defeated action, but it means deferred action if it can save you from deportation in a U visa or with a U visa pending. So cool. All right. Jose, thank you for asking that question. Absolutely. I'd love to explain that. The bona fide determination process for a U visa means basically you filed your U visa correctly. It had all the proper forms, all right? It showed that you were, in fact, the victim of a qualifying crime and you were helpful in the investigation or the prosecution of that crime, all right? And they determine, USCIS determines that it's bona fide. It's like a legitimate case, all right? When they make that determination, now you're authorized to get a work card through the pending U visa. That's what the bona fide status determination process is about. It's about work permits, all right? Deferred action is a slightly different thing from the U visa. To be clear, in the old days, people would get a wait list letter and say that they've been approved for deferred action. They could apply and show that to their immigration judge or whatever. And then, yes, it could often get you your case closed in immigration court. Your question, though, is can it save you from deportation? I'm just going to answer it saying yes, it can. Yes, it can. But it doesn't always, okay? It doesn't always. ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, like if there's a deportation order against you already, and if ICE finds that you're a priority to be removed, sometimes what ICE will say is, hey, look, I'm going to deport you, and you can fight that U visa from outside the U.S. All right? Sometimes they'll say that. And I would just, you know, in my firm, we've fought against deportation. We've gotten cases closed. We've asked for prosecutorial discretion. We've filed stay requests with ICE to prevent a deportation when there's a U visa on file. And so sometimes there is a way to do that. Yes, you can do that. All right. So, Jose, thank you for asking that question. Reynaldo Adrian, hello on Instagram. Herrera, is it El Miranda? Yeah. Hello on Instagram. Arthur, hello on Instagram. Welcome. Thank you all so much for being here. I see you like waving there. Hey, Fred in America, I see you there as well. Hello, welcome. John Susan, hello. Hello. All right, cool. Hello. Reynaldo Adrian, hello. Great to see you. Great to see you. And so I think those were all the questions I had. Does anybody else have any other question? Going once, going twice. Send it in if you got it, you know. We had, you know, yeah, I'd love to answer anything you got. And I think that we are almost out of time anyway. And so, you know, if there's no other questions for today, that's not a problem. Bottom line of today's conversation is if there's any way that you could be eligible to adjust status, go for adjustment of status over the consular process. Whenever possible, that is always my best advice. Okay? Some people have doubts about that. If the situation is different for you for whatever reason, hey, we could talk that through. I'd love to talk that through. We support lots of people with the consular process. Also, that's not a problem, right? You know, if you're eligible for a green card, get it any way you're eligible for it, right? But where there's the choice, let's lean into how can we do this here in the U.S. rather than through the U.S. consulates overseas, okay? So that was the main point that I wanted to get to today. I hope that that was helpful and useful for folks. If you have other questions that I haven't answered, hey, still send them over. I can still answer them. I can upload them to our YouTube channel, as always. And so the way to get that, though, is you've got to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You got to click the notifications bell in YouTube. Give me a thumbs up also if you find this useful, if you find this helpful, it's good for me to know. Or if you have other topics in your mind of what you want me to talk about, I'm going to start doing episodes on citizenship. We can talk more about the U visa because I know there's a lot of interest about the U visa. And so, yeah, we'll be doing that. And always we'll be talking updates and news within immigration. Things are going to start changing, people. Change is coming. Let's embrace it. All right. So, and as always, if you have an immigration case, please give us a call. We are here to help. We love helping people with their immigration cases. All right? That's it, everybody. That's it. Thank you all so much for being here. My name is Otis Landerholm. I'm the founding attorney here at Landerholm Immigration APC, where we fight for your American dream, and I will see you on the next episode of the Empowered Immigrant Law.
Thank you for listening to the Empowered Immigrant Podcast. If you like what you heard, and if you want to learn more, please go to landerholmimmigration.com/podcast.